Our first scripture lesson this morning is from the Hebrew Bible, Psalm 118. Listen to the words of the psalmist and praise the Lord. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us rejoice and be glad indeed. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. The women found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to the other apostles an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The women disciples, the one whom the scripture just before this says had followed Jesus all the way from Galilee, all the way to the cross, even accompanying his body to the grave, they come this morning to Jesus' tomb to care for his body, only to find that the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. The text says that they are perplexed and then terrified. Literally, the Greek for those words means at a loss and then full of fear at the appearance of two dazzling beings who tell them that Jesus is risen. Remember how he told you, the beings say, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again? Then they remembered his words. We talked last week about disrupted expectations and how for the disciples, the betrayal and arrest, the trial and torture, the mockery and crucifixion of Jesus must have been the ultimate disruption of their expectations for their beloved leader and the movement that had seemed so full of life. Jesus has tried to tell his followers what would happen. In fact, just a few chapters earlier, just a couple weeks ago in our lectionary readings, he had warned them that terrible things would happen to him, yet it would not be the end. But as the text says, they understood nothing about all these things. It's only in discovering that he is not among the dead, but among the living, that they remember his words, only in the proof that they remember his promises. It's easy to chide the disciples for missing a point so plainly stated, for forgetting basically the biggest plot twist of all time that Jesus had given them, shall we say, spoilers for. But the truth is that even though we hear the Easter message every year, we often don't understand either. We get sucked into feeling that there is no coming back from a mistake or that our errors make us awful people. We cling to recriminations and bitterness instead of opening ourselves to healing and freedom. We look at horrifying injustices happening in the world and maybe we feel bad, but then we just shrug our shoulders and say, it's terrible, but that's just the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it. We live as though death is the end. We feel the grief and the pain and the terror of it all, and we turn away because what good could possibly come from it? When hurts or disappointment or grief swamp us, we too live in the pain of the present without being able to recall the promises. Suffering, after all, has a powerful pull. Even in the face of evidence otherwise, it can make us feel like nothing else exists, that there can be no other alternative. Even when Mary comes to tell the rest of the disciples that the tomb was empty on Easter morning, that Jesus was alive, they don't believe her. Can you imagine what would have happened if they too hadn't finally remembered what Jesus had said? If they hadn't finally believed some other ending might be possible than the one that had devastated them. If they hadn't been able to bring themselves to perceive something good, something beautiful amidst the grief and pain and terror that had engulfed them. If they had refused to hope, to trust, and had simply gone back, aching with loss, to their lives in Galilee, we would not be here. This faith community would not be here. It's not that we should rush through our grief and pain, that we should be eager to leave it behind. When we've suffered loss or we've borne witness to the suffering of the world, skipping straight to happiness does us as much of a disservice as never getting there at all. But even in the thick of our hurt, we can remember the words. We can remember his promise. And when it is just too much, and one of us can't quite believe it, the rest of us can be Mary, holding on to his words until the one in pain is ready to hear them again. Friends, we are so familiar with the Easter story that the resurrection feels like a foregone conclusion, or as we called it at the Lenten study series last week, the worst case of dramatic irony ever. We know what's coming, right? But it was the exact opposite for the disciples. Far from an assured outcome, the idea of resurrection was a wild, impossible dream that they didn't even allow themselves to contemplate, that they couldn't even fathom might exist in their despair and their sorrow. Where in our despair and sorrow, our loneliness and grief, our outrage at the suffering of the world, where might we be simply unable to imagine an outcome or outgrowth that could ever be called good? And yet, if we let ourselves believe the news pouring from Mary's excitement-trembled lips, might it actually be true? Whether here or in the hereafter, that is the promise of the resurrection, that God is indeed working to bring good out of all things, that Jesus is not dead but alive, that death is not the end of the story. Love is. Amen. Go now, my friends, with joy out into a world that is full of suffering and loss, yes, but also is full of hope and of resurrection, if only we are able to remember those words and to see the world through those eyes. Go in the joy of Jesus's resurrection, in the love of God, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and be at peace. And hopefully we will see you at the Flower Cross or our Easter egg hunt in just a little bit after worship is over.